Very gently, you can be seated. It's taken me a minute to catch this one. Tuli da sole colomotu caleschi licio. De colomori bari cudes alla ube. Thank you, Jesus. E quello ma se c'è. I'll catch it. At this point, every time I get caught in one of these, he likes me to give the explanation. And I can do so while I'm waiting. In the 12th chapter of Romans, he says, every man prophesy in proportion to the faith that's given him. And all prophecies given for edification, exhortation, and comfort. We understand edification. We understand comfort. But to prophesy exhortation, to exhort, has to be on a foundation of something that already exists. He said, in proportion to the faith that's given to him, meaning he can't prophesy beyond the level of word that he's walking in and the ability to expound upon it. Especially to the holiness realm, most of the prophecies are, yea, thus saith the Lord, you'll go, you'll come, you'll do this, you'll do that. More like direction, more like a word of knowledge or something. But he said, exhortation and comfort, to exhort. In proportion to the faith that's given me, I have to exhort for some foundation that already exists. If I'm exhorting on building this building, it has to be on a blueprint. At least has to be a revelation to me. So all of a sudden he'll start saying things that's just on the edge of everything that I'm walking in. And I have to wait for it to come together to even begin to prophesy it, when it's taken a form of interpretation. The reason he'll use tongues many times is to get something from the order of another direction and call it to attention with the tongues. Then the tongues will follow. Sometimes he has to do that to me if I'm real strong in a direction, and all of a sudden he'll start creating the tongues in my spirit, and it'll pull me back in to the mind of God and what he has. The last time this happened was Wednesday night. Because God set us as a church into the different kinds of worship, but in particular private worship, because he wanted your personal life to be as affected as your corporate worship. He wanted your personal life to be affected by revival as much as we want the city to be affected. So he was exhorting heavily upon private worship and where that will bring you and what that will do to you. Even though I've already broken to some bit of private worship, what he prophesied stretched me out. Just able to grab and understand what he was saying. Now I have to keep asking Gary what the statement was in it, because he had to take me so far. I mean, I had to yield over. He had to pull it together in me, and I was in a fight, boy. But the prophecy was about the love of God. Why are you saying these things? For, because I'm waiting. The prophecy was about the love of God. And I'd never heard things like that except a bit here and a bit there and a bit there. Then all of a sudden they came together and I understood a picture. And that truth is what I was able to prophesy out of for a few moments. But it did something to my edification. It did something to my faith. It is still shooting through me like everything's possible. Everything. What is it that I can't do? I'm in power just shooting through me. Whew. Anyway, this was the heart of the prophecy. I can say this part in general. They said, I give you grace, and when my grace is enacted in you, I trade your weaknesses for my strength, he says. Your sicknesses for my health. And it went on, all the things he did for us, even to pray us to a higher place. By that supernatural language of tongues, when we consent to it, he can even change us. But boy, when it came to loving him, he said something that pulled out everything that I've ever known to get the statement out. And I had 3 tries at it. And the 3rd time it came out, and I thought to myself, don't take credit for this, boy. You'll get in trouble. Oh, it was so good. But it was something about him wanting to fellowship with you. And as your father, he was desiring to develop a relationship with you in fellowship to where you really, really love him with your heart. And it's in that place all things are possible. I can start stammering around the first part, Gary.
The Lord says, what he said, he says, I cannot love myself in you, for you.
Say it again, Gary.
I cannot love myself in you, for you.
He can't love himself in you, in your place, or for you. And I'm thinking, oh, what do you want? Well, he went on. The whole reason that he is able to give you a new nature that made you a partaker with his divine nature. And like any baby that's born into this world, he said, lest you be converted and become as little children, you'll not even enter the kingdom of God. Well, the proof there that a newborn baby underneath the shadow was as close as you could get to typing the rebirth under the shadow. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings that is newborn people in the kingdom, he perfected praise. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings who ordained the strength that stilled the enemy, which was the new nature. So definitely when you came into the kingdom, you came into it as a newborn. But boy, what you received was a nature like your father's. I mean, so much so that you're able to partake with him in that nature. Well, it's in that nature that you have the capacity to reservoir and develop the love of God that you love him with. He could give you the nature, but he could not come in and love himself. In you, for you. He gave you the goods, and you have to develop it. Hallelujah. You mean there's unlimited capacity in me through that new nature, developing it, that all limits are off, that I can give God what He wants, that is to enter into a fellowship, to love Him with all my heart, and have it come from me to Him. Are you excited? No, I'm rather dull. We've got to talk about this for a minute. He won't let me off of it because it's the next step into receiving what God wants for you and I and for Tulsa. And to think the mind of Christ is going to get too far from it in any service, you might as well think again. Because God is single in purpose. He's single-minded. And in His mind, He has one path and one goal for your life and for Tulsa. And that is to come to the fullness in the Father that you can possibly come to before you get your glorified body and go home and check on your reward. Let's think about this for a minute. Galatians, when he's talking about, he confronted Peter. His conclusion was, nevertheless, you know, I live. He says, I've been crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. Then he clarified, he said, not I. Well, I'm living, but if it's not I... He said, nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth within me. Well, if I live, and it's not I, but Christ liveth in me. Well, he said that I have the Spirit of Christ. Well, if Christ is living in me, and I have the Spirit of Christ, what do I really have? Do I have my own human spirit? And then do I have the Holy Spirit? And then do I have another one called the Spirit of Christ? Or what did I really get? And why is it important? Well, I can tell you why. When he said, I have the Spirit of Christ. Before I had the Spirit of Christ, I had the Spirit of Adam. Did I have Adam's own personal human spirit? No, sir. But I had the death that I inherited from him when he fell. But now I don't have the death I inherited from the first man, Adam, anymore. I don't have his spirit. I have the Spirit of Christ. Do I have Jesus Christ's personal human spirit? No! But I have the life that I inherited from him. Therefore, I no longer have the spirit that Adam gave me. I have the spirit that Christ gave me. For I am a new creation. I've been crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. The old man has passed away, and a new creation has come into existence. I have the life that's in me that was in Christ. Is that good? Yes, sir, that is good. But I also have the mind of Christ. If you're a new man, I am. You're a new creation, I am. Old man, new man. I'm not the old man anymore. I'm the new man. And I know I have the Spirit of Christ because I have inherited that nature that set me free from sin. But along with that new creation, I've been crucified with him, yet I live, not I, but as Christ liveth within me. Not only did I receive a nature that made me a partaker of his divine nature, but I also receive the mind of the new creation.
So do you have the mind of Christ?
Yes, I do. But I don't have his mind. I have my own that belongs to the new creation. When I received a new nature in my new creation, I also received a mind like Christ. So not only do I have a nature like his, but I have a mind that can also discern and understand spiritual things.
You have the mind of Christ.
Yes, I do. But I don't have his personal mind. I have my own that all of you received when you were born again and become a new creation. You got the spiritual mind that went with it, that has a capacity to discern and understand spiritual things. Well, who has? Well, I'll tell you who carries the mind of Christ with him. What is in Christ's mind? That is the Holy Spirit. And his intention, especially when you pray in tongues, and if you are reading your Bible and the epistles, especially the ones Paul taught, then you're reading the mind of Christ as through Paul and put down on paper.
But when you pray in the Holy Spirit is taking the mind of Christ and praying what is in it for your personal life, plan, pursuits, calling, equipping, power, edification, and faith that you're called to walk in. You mean he's praying all those things for me? Whatever is in the mind of Christ, which is in the Holy Spirit, that's what he's praying for you. But the good thing is you have the mind of the new creation that can understand what the Holy Spirit is praying when he reveals it to you, and you can become those things. He said the natural man understands not the things via the Spirit of God, for they're spiritually discerned. But I have the mind of the new creation. Therefore, I've got a spiritual mind that can discern and understand spiritual things. And the Holy Spirit's calling in you is to guide you into all truth. And he said, thy word is truth. Now this mind I have to discern and understand spiritual things, it's different than the nature that I have. Now when I was a sinner and I had the sin nature, it enslaved my mind and made me servant. That was the scenario Paul was talking about with the Jew when they were delivered the law and couldn't keep it. He said, is the law sin? God forbid. He said, I would not have known covetous, say the law said, thou shalt not lust. Well, he didn't know lusting was wrong because that was part of the nature he was born with. Suddenly God comes and says, stop, Paul! He says, oh, and that which was meant for good? He says, the good I do, I couldn't, and the evil I was refusing to do, I always ended up doing it. Why? Because he had a sin nature that enslaved his mind and made him a servant to it. But now that I have been born again, I have a new nature, and my new nature bathes my mind in life, and bathes it in life, and causes my mind to become a willing servant to the new nature that I have that has freed me from sin. And now the devil can't make me sin because I don't want to. There's two parts of my new creation. One is my spiritual mind that doesn't like to sin, doesn't want to. My nature, which bathes my mind, doesn't like to sin. Well, thank God I have the mind of Christ that can discern spiritual things. But I also got his nature. It is this mind that I understand revelation knowledge. I crave to understand things about God. I want you to tell me more about God, Gino. Where'd he come from? What happened to the first man? How come we need to be saved? I got 1,001 questions. Can anybody satisfy my hunger? Oh, somebody please tell me. Why did I need to be saved? What happened to me when I was? How much power can I really walk in? Am I really God's son? Is all things really possible to him that believeth? Do you crave to know things like Noah walked on this planet 50 years into Abraham's life? And Abraham could have walked up and sat at the feet of the old one and heard about the early world. Do you want to know things like that? Would you let Shem, Noah's son, he outlived Abraham. He outlived Abraham. Noah's son outlived Abraham by 25 years. You didn't talk about the mercy and the grace of God. Shem was 100 years before the flood. He watched the destruction of the early world and he knew why. And the mercy of God had him on the earth as a witness between the 99th and 100th year of Abraham when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
What do you crave? You want to know where faith comes from? It's sure not from guessing about God, of being sold a religious bill of goods that sometimes He will, sometimes He won't. He's sovereign. He does what He wants. Why, it doesn't do any good to have faith if He won't keep His word. How can you have faith if He has not bound Himself to His word? But if He has, and it's up to me to believe it, then you had better look out, because that means everything is really possible to him that believeth then. So do you crave knowledge? I do. As my Father's son, I want to know. I want to know. The Holy Spirit's ministry towards me is not going to be an easy one. I'm not going to let him out of anything. It's a good thing he's God, because I'm going to wear him out. Hallelujah, Jesus. So are you hungry? Are you hungry to know things? Like 14 generations after Abraham, this King David's reign. And of course Solomon took the reign from him. And that was when the Queen of Sheba came, Queen of Ethiopia. Was astounded. She was more than amazed. She was stunned. Stunned. By the man's wisdom. Now, 1,000 years later, Candace, queen of Ethiopia, eunuch, was returning from worshiping with the book of Isaiah when Philip got him born again. The wisdom that Solomon displayed when he talked to the Queen of Sheba carried down 1,000 years. You want to know about God? You need to really get to know about Him. In fact, there is no other master or teacher other than Jesus. He says, there's one teacher and you're all brethren. Then why are you teaching? If I'm not teaching what He said, then it doesn't count. Because whose teaching you has not been taught by Jesus Christ, then it's disannulled. If not, if what you're teaching, so what does he mean? We have one teacher and you're all brethren, and he put us all on the same playing field. In other words, when it comes to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and what you are teaching, you didn't have an original thought. Not a single bit of it originated with you. It all originated with Him. You may have a teacher, but if Jesus wasn't His teacher, do you really have a teacher? Are you hungry? Well, I'm hungry to know Him. And I get a good deal of that quenched from praying in tongues. Why? Because every piece of the mind of Christ, I pray out, speak in mysteries. He that prays unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, this man, the moment he speaks the worst tongue out of his mouth, has put himself in the Spirit. Want to know what's transpiring in the Spirit? He said, in the Spirit, this man is speaking mysteries. What mysteries? Which one are you going to sneak up on God's blind side? Whisper some deep, dark, spiritual secret in His ear He didn't know a couple of millennials before you graced this planet. These mysteries you're praying are not for God's benefit. Definition of mystery, that which is out of the range of unassisted, natural apprehension and can be made known only by divine intervention. As these mysteries, are they for God's benefit? No! Praying in tongues like any other form of prayer, for your benefit, designed by God to be answered.
What mysteries am I praying?
You can't speak 1 hour in tongues to your own edification without praying out some aspect of the mystery of everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you, the hope of glory. There was no book appeared in the Bible with your name on it when you were born again. So you wanted to know what you'd be doing when you're 30? Look in the book. But you did receive a book when you was baptized in the Holy Spirit, because God's personal plan is in His mind for your life, and you won't pray 1 hour that He'll not lay part of that plan out. From the mysteries you're speaking is the same ones that's been hid since the foundation of the world, but now has been made manifest to the church, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Makes a guy want to run and pray in tongues. I think my Father's after something here. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of the new creation. So do you. I have a capacity to discern spiritual things. So I am hungry. I found out that most men don't know much. That the Holy Spirit knows everything. Anybody that knows something, I'll listen to them. But once I found out they haven't been taught by the Holy Spirit, I lose interest. Sorry, that may be a flaw. Well, there's another part of my new creation. 2 Peter, 1st chapter, talked about it. When he said, "Of the exceeding and precious promises, you've been made a partaker with His divine nature." So by these promises, I reached out and laid hold on God and was born again. He made me a partaker of His divine nature. And then he went on to say, "Since you've been made a partaker, my divine nature, and you have my mind, add to your faith." Well, how does faith come? By hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He says, go on, add to your faith. And he listed knowledge there. All right. And then he went on to list things like temperance, virtue. And I like the brotherly kindness one. Yeah, thus saith the Lord. Brotherly, sisterly kindness. Good one. And then the last one he listed as part of that new nature. Not my brain. Not this part that hungers after knowledge. We're talking about a nature. The last one he listed is the love. Add to your faith. Whew. And he listed love. Well, I know how to add more word and revelation knowledge. I've been doing that for a long time. But I really didn't know how to add more presence. I knew to believe what He was showing me, and that brought much equipping to my gifting and calling. But to add just God's plain presence, I'd pray in tongues. I thought the word edification meant it. That I was just mysteriously being charged by God, like plugging me into 110 volts. My eyes went full. Little did I know the way He edifies you from praying in tongues is He reveals things that you need to do. So the revelation knowledge of worship come. And I said, I think I'll just develop my love for you without worship. And he says, I think I'll just pray in tongues. That'll be enough. And just kept delivering me to the worship limb until I started ministering to Him out of that new nature where the love develops. So one part of me, the things of the nature develop. The other part, the mind of the new creation, is where I discern spiritual things. That is the mind of Christ.
You have his personal mind?
I wished. But I have the mind that is the equipping of the new creation, and I have a good capacity to understand spiritual things. But there's another part of me. He said, come on, boy, add to your faith these things. Ooh, and he went on to say, you'll not be barren nor unfruitful in Christ. He says, nor will you fall again. But you know, no so-called generational curse or stronghold will survive an onslaught of praying in tongues and worship. He'll smite the root, and that ugly fruit will be so rotten it'll fall off and become part of a manure pile. And that's nice. So make it. Boy, I hated quitting smoking, and I never inhaled. When I'd party all weekend, and I'd have an all-night watch Monday out at sea on a destroyer. I'd be up on the bridge with my watch. I'd be on my watch, and I couldn't stay awake. You know, because I never slept all weekend. I'm up there. Well, you don't fall asleep on duty. Oh, man, you in trouble. So I found out, I'd say, excuse me, do you have a cigarette? And they'd say, yeah. And I never smoked them, but I'd eat them. Boy, they wake you up. Better than a court martial. Grandpa's the one that got me. He'd take that plug of day's work out. That's what it was called, day's work. And Grandpa, he had a spit can, an empty coffee can by his couch. I got to chewing his tobacco, you know. And I graduated to cigar, and then a pipe. And I never inhaled. You think I'd get that filthy stuff in my lungs? Not in your best day. But boy, was it addictive. Because it gives you the same stuff, whether you take it in like a B12 through the saliva glands. Whether you take it in a B12 or straight through the lungs, it's pretty quick. And you get it in your mouth, it's pretty quick. I remember get under a little pressure, and I'd go out at night, set in a park. I remember trying to quit. Got born again in a holiness church. It was horrible. Man, they'd preach hell's fire and brimstone. You wasn't sanctified, and that cigarette's going to send you to hell. And on, I'd just tremble. And I'd run up, and I'd throw the stuff out of my pocket and get rid of it. And I'd go home, I'm free. And then Monday, man, I'd buy a dollar and a quarter package of pipe with tobacco and everything with it. Had everything. A little cheap pipe with the pouch of tobacco for $1. So I'd get a puff it all week. Then Wednesday would come and I'd evade church. Then the old woman, Sister Pryor, would be on my porch the next day. I know you in there. Oh, retired school teacher, oh, holiness woman, even after we had David. If you miss church, she'd beat your hand with a ruler. I said all that to say this. On the way home, you know, from church, I'd throw my pipe away. And Monday, I'd get another one. Sunday, I'd throw it away. And Monday, I'd get another one. I was using a lot of will worship to try to put it down. Because I didn't know the difference between mortification and will worship. Will worship is you depend completely upon your own strength. Whereas mortification, if you learn how to loose the Holy Spirit inside of you and He rises up and destroys the hold that's feeding the problem, then eventually it'll dry up and you'll get rid of it one way or another. But then I found out by turning the Holy Spirit loose on the inside of me, He didn't come looking for somebody perfect.
But Mother, what I could give him was that nature to work with. And when he started praying for me out of that new nature, that was a prayer God could answer. And the mortification process began. Well, I'm so free now, I can hardly stand myself. But let's take this on just a little bit further. He said, I can add to my faith what? His virtues and temperance and brotherly kindness and patience and love. You have no idea since private worship how those things have empowered the revelations that I have. You have no idea that when the Holy Spirit has your freedom in mind, He usually will deliver you to the revelation that sets you free. I can remember when He delivered me to fasting when I had major portions of the flesh to deal with. I would have rather just edified myself a little bit until all of a sudden, wee! But it's a revelation gift, so He kept delivering me to the things that would set me free in the areas I was believing for. So when I tell you that there's a way you can magnify the part of you that has the capacity to love God, then it's you loving Him because it's you making the choice to develop that part of you you came into the kingdom with as a newborn babe with the nature of God. Now what did He say to me again?
I cannot love myself in you, for you.
I cannot love myself for you, God says, in you, for you. Man, I'm going to get it. I'm the last one to get this.
Either way, what?
And I prophesied it. This is not fair. Let me cap this with this. So hang on with me. God's after something. Let's talk about developing that part that loves. The part has to do with emotion. When the joy of the Lord is your strength. The part has to do with virtue and temperance and patience and brotherly kindness and love. That part. I can read it in the Word. I know I'm supposed to be that way. How, where, what? What part of me, when, what can be developed? Does that part belong to the nature? Yes, because I can understand that by revelation. I am supposed to be nice, just like Jesus. And I have His nature, so I don't know why I don't like you. Before you were born again, you consisted of the same two parts. You had an emotional side that could love, enjoyed emotion, was happy, delightful. It was life. But still there was another part of you that craved knowledge. Now, of course, you know where I'm going. But you had to bear with me. I tried to get out of it for 10 minutes. It's a part of you that craves knowledge, you know. I like popular science. I want to know what's on the other side of Mars. I mean, I'd like to know what's out there. I think I'm going to find out how far tours go when we get there. Nevertheless, I just want to know. Because I'm hungry for knowledge and I was in the world. It's not enough for me to understand how a gasoline engine works, 4-cycle, 2-cycle, but I want to know how the Wankel engine worked. I want to know how a jet engine worked. I just can't help it. I want to know. There's a part of me that just craves knowledge. But the day I met Rosalie, knowledge wasn't enough. There's something in me that could not be satisfied but in her presence. There's a capacity to love. And I love her more today than I did When were we married? What was our birthday? What's in it? What did I get him? Anyway, I love her more. When's our anniversary? Anyway, I love her more today than I did the day I married her. Let me explain it this way. Since you read the Bible more than once and you read parables more than once, how about the parable of the computer nerd girl? And then I'll be able to move on. Computer nerd. It just loves knowledge. It doesn't want anything else. There's a nice way of putting that I've been informed lately. They prefer to call themselves techies. Is that right? Techie? A computer nerd is somebody more like with a green drink, bedhead, thick glasses, a leaking pencil pack, and a pants leg stuck in his sock. Man, he just doesn't break codes, he writes them. He just doesn't write programs. Goodness, this guy, he invents chips. You know, he designs equipment. This guy's good. He's walking down the hall with his green drink. Knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. And he can't wait to get to his office. Knowledge! Man, he's just making that thing sing. He's got no craving for anything else in his life. Knowledge is enough. Until the day that computer nerd girl was transferred to his company, his department. Well, he's in there. Knowledge! And computer nerd girl comes down the hall for the first time. Her eyes as big as sewer lids. A little old bitty print dress with a little pink sweater that was buttoned up at one wrong place. She had bedhead. And a little bitty sandaly kind of slippery shoes on with white socks, but one of them had a pink rim around it. Good carrot residue on the sides of her lips. Knowledge! Knowledge! He said, knowledge! 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 Whoa. Whoa. And then it happened. By the look that's in your eye, this magic moment. Cupid, pull back your bow and let your arrow flow. From then on, knowledge was not enough. What he needed, he could only find in the presence of his sweetie pie. There comes a time that knowledge is not enough. If high IQ could spare you, then Carlton would be having no trouble. Sometimes knowledge is not enough. Some things you can only get by being in his presence. And you're born again spirit. It's been made a partaker of his divine nature. Has an unlimited capacity to reservoir. And hold the love of God and his temperance and his virtue and his kindness and his nature. You'll not begin to spend those 3 or 4 hours with us as we advance further and further on in the kinds of worship particularly pertaining to private, even the kind that makes your confession stand up and salute and go get what you're believing for. We're talking about going in where the part of you lives that believes what he says with. Add to your faith these things, and you'll not be barren, naked, fruitless, nor will you fall. Makes a guy want to go worship. Well, who led us there? Go on to John the 16th chapter. Hallelujah. 12th verse. Talking about the arriving of the Holy Spirit. John 16 and 12. Talking about when the Holy Spirit arrives, when he's come, he's telling the things he'll do. Then in the 12th verse, he says, look, I have yet many things to say unto you, yet you can't bear them now. In other words, you can't do them because you can't understand them. But you will when you receive a new nature, and the teacher, the Holy Spirit, gets here to reveal them to you. So in the 12th verse, he says, I have many things to say and do, but you can't bear them. How be it? This is the analyzation of this situation. How be it then? This is when you can understand these things. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth. Notice he didn't say he would push you. He couldn't push Adam. He won't push you. He's come to guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And notice this, and he'll show you things to come. He goes on to say, look, he shall glorify me. Well, how is he going to do that? For he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Well, what things is he going to receive of him that is his and show them to me? This is his ministry in you. Well, he tells you that in the next verse. All things that the Father hath are mine. Notice this. He alludes to his earthly ministry and priesthood in his humanity as the Son of God. He's not speaking out of his deity here. He's speaking out of his humanity. Has he ever spoke out of his deity? Yes. He told a bunch of Pharisees, before Abraham was, I am. He spoke out of his deity. Abraham saw my day, he's glad for you. You're barely 50 years old. He said, let me tell you, boy, something. Before Abraham was, I am. Boy, like that. But now he's speaking out of his humanity as the firstborn of the Son of God. Notice, he's going to show me things to come. Yes, sir, that's what he said in verse 14. He shall glorify me. How? For he will receive of mine and show it unto you. Well, what's he going to show me that he has, that I want, that glorifies Jesus? He said, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I say unto you, he shall take of mine and will show it unto you. Well, since he alludes to his humanity and the position he holds with the Father as the firstborn, then when he says he'll glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Well, what things are you going to show me? All that the Father has as his firstborn is mine. I'm his firstborn, but that's okay, because he's going to take all those rights that I have as the firstborn and show them unto you. I don't know how many thousand down the line I am to be born again. I only know he's the firstborn. How many ever I am down the lineage of being born again, I don't know and I don't care. All I know is the standing that he has with the Father as the firstborn is what the Holy Spirit has been assigned to show unto me, because I have been born again, and the place he holds with the Father, I hold too. I am being born again now. He's the firstborn. Why would he say first with many down the line? I can identify with his humanity, that you'll never approach the other part of what he is, which is his deity. But his humanity, in the place he holds with the Father as the firstborn, the Holy Spirit said he can receive that. That I have from the Father and show it unto you. And what did Jesus say? All things are possible to him that believeth. All things. Well, revelation knowledge is not automatic by merit of the baptism of the Holy Spirit alone, or everybody would be saying the same thing. There must be something that I can do. There must be a way to activate the teacher on the inside of me, just because I want to, as often as I want to, as long as I want to. Hello? Hello? I can pray out of the mind of Christ. Anytime I want to pull myself in and begin to pray in tongues, I begin praying out of the mind of Christ everything that he is into me and through me, the hope of glory. He comes to guide me. He will not push me. He doesn't make me pray. He doesn't make me walk with him. He doesn't make me read my Bible. He doesn't make me go to church. He does not, and he will not make me do anything. I choose. Hallelujah, Jesus. So what have we been saying? We've been calling revival and the legion of angels, and they're in the atmosphere. Tulsa. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa, because Tulsa is in revival. And that has been on people's lips for six years. How many can feel the harvest? It is close. Guess who's more scared than we are? I'm not scared at all, but if you had a prone to be scared, I can tell you the devil is more scared than you are. Woo! Hallelujah. Okay.